Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Here we go. Hour number three on this sunny, beautiful Monday afternoon. I first met this man, Tim Legler, when we both were in Rochester with the illustrious Rochester Flyer. So, Legs, we have to talk a little Rochester Flyer basketball first. Before we get to the Wolves and Warriors, Tim's going to call it tonight with Dave Pasch on ESPN. Obviously, the Wolves lead the series 2-1. Here are the highlights involving myself. Why don't I talk about myself first? You call me at after practice when the head coach had called me out because I had said the Wolves got a break on a call. The head coach then apologized to me in front of the team. Guy by the name of Brian Warwick threatened to fight me on the bus one time. I'm out. I don't think you were there. I was out with my guy, Michael Graham. Yes, Michael Graham, who was Patrick Ewing's kind of bodyguard at Georgetown, and we're in Rockford at a bar, and I'm overserved, and these two guys are about to pound me into the ground, and Michael Graham steps in, and guess what? The fight ended at that point because they looked at me at 6'1", 180, and thought, we can take this guy. Not Michael at 6'10", 245. Then after the team started the year, you correct me if I'm wrong, 0-23, I think, on the road, the head coach used to come out for a quick chat right before the second half would start. You and the great trainer, our buddy Jim Recurio, came out and said, well, guess what? He's not coming out because he's in the locker room right now crying at this point. Then another highlight is you had one of these very, very small TVs. So this, again, is the fall of 88. There's no internet, and our guy, Jose Slaughter, is watching you on the small TV, and he's like, Legs, put on ESPN. We then spent about 30 minutes trying to explain to Jose about the cable that would need to be attached to your phone. I think we were like, maybe we're in Rockford again or something like that. I mean, What a clown show, but great memories that was. I mean, you're quasi.
Since you took us down memory lane, can I give you three really quick ones that I recall?
Of course.
Okay, so the first one is my very first game as a professional. At home in Rochester.
Yep.
Didn't play a lot in the game, being a rookie and whatnot. I was their first round draft pick of the Rochester Flyers. I think it was the fourth or fifth pick of the CBA draft.
And yep.
So they made a big deal about it, but I wasn't playing much. We're down three, and I had played maybe 5 minutes in the game to that point, and I wasn't in the game. And he puts me in the game, Scott Carlin, during a timeout, specifically trying to get a three-pointer because I was the best three-point shooter we had.
Yeah.
And I get the ball, and I remember I caught it, pump fake, guy goes flying by, and I take one big dribble in to get some rhythm, jump up, shoot it, basically at the buzzer, ball goes in. I'm super excited until I realize that I dribbled in too far and I crossed the three-point line. We lose by one. So I remember that.
Yeah.
And I remember walking to the locker room And Jose Slaughter, again, he'll come up in this next story, too.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
So good. And I felt horrible about the situation. I just shot a two-pointer down three.
Yep.
He said to me, his arm around me, trying to be nice, said, "Don't worry about it, Rook. You should have never been in there in the first place." So I didn't know. I think he was meaning it as a compliment or kind of pick up my spirits, but it was really the strangest compliment or support I've ever gotten from a guy.
Not good. I would not want to hear that myself.
Another one stands out. You remember a guy named Glenn Clem?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so Glenn Clem was from Vanderbilt. He and I were rooming together in an apartment. He was on the team at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
We walk into the practice facility one morning, and there was a guy on the court in Glenn Clem's practice uniform being worked out by the team.
That's right. I do remember
His name was Andre Patterson.
Yes.
And Glenn Clem was like, "Is that my stuff?" And he proceeds to walk back to the locker room, has like a 10-minute conversation, and then we start practice, and he comes out, and I see him just with his stuff, and he left. And I never saw Glenn Clem again, and we lived together, and I never saw the guy again. And then the last one
okay,
was...
Okay, no. We got to stop by that for a second. So you show up at practice, and a guy's wearing your stuff. Maybe that's the way it should happen now in pro sports. You know, there's no conversation. It's awkward. Tim, we got to let you go. We've traded you. Just you show up and somebody's already in your gear.
Yeah, it would be great. You just, you think about it. Like, a guy shows
cleaner.
Up in an NBA, to an NBA arena and goes to his locker. There's nothing there. "Hey, man, what's going on?" No. "We gave it to such and such. He's out there now warming up. You're done.
That's a tougher one, though, that he was your roommate. And you never heard from him ever
again. Never heard from the guy again. But by the time I got back to the apartment, this is true. This is 2.5 hours later, probably. His stuff was gone. I never saw him again.
Dave,
I mean,
Google Glenn Clem Vanderbilt. Sweet guy. Couldn't play, right? I mean, he really wasn't quite good enough.
I don't know what he ended up. I'd be curious. He might have gone overseas or something. I don't know.
Yeah, yep.
I got one last one.
Yep.
We're on the road. I don't remember what city. We're all gathering in the lobby of the hotel to get on the bus to go to shoot around. And Jose Slaughter is sort of tucked around the corner, not really visible to everybody, but we kind of could see him back there with a woman. And they're like making out. And everybody sees it. And then we go to get on the bus. And we're all sitting down. And then Jose Slaughter goes to get on the bus. And she's with him, and she's walking onto the bus. And Scott Carlin goes, Jose, come on.
Yeah.
No, we're not having that.
Right.
And he goes, "It's messed up, Scott. My cousin can't come to shoot around." And we had all just seen what
transpired.
Oh, my God.
I forgot that one. That's so good.
So of course, they removed her from the bus, and we went on to play. Now, here's the only thing I'll say about those days. Final thing. It did. The second half of that season – really reinforced in my mind that I was going to eventually be an NBA player. I had a great second half.
I ended up
making like
you didn't play a lot in the first 10-15 games. That's my memory.
No, he didn't play me a ton early, and then he started going to me more, and then I started the second half of the year, and I was really putting up good numbers and shooting the ball. When I was going up against guys that I had seen, because I played LaSalle, which is a mid-major. I was playing against guys that played at, like, these Power 5 schools.
Gerald Patio.
Jay Edwards from Indiana scored, like, 2,000 points. Stevie Thompson, who was at Syracuse, scoring, like, 2,000 points. And you're watching guys on like, ABC, NBC, CBS on the weekends, and you're, like, thinking, man, these guys, this is high-level programs. And then you're playing them, and you're outplaying these guys. Like, regularly, I was outplaying them, and it really did reinforce in my mind that, okay, man, I did the right thing here, and I'm going to make it. I got to stick with it, and I believe now I can be a pro. So it wasn't all laughs and, like, horror stories from Rochester, Minnesota. We had
some
friendships that endured, including yours, and had helped me grow up and become a man and a pro. Really, that's what happened in Minnesota.
Your highest level of competition the first 10-15 games was getting your butt kicked by me in various arcade games when we'd go spend about an hour a day.
That is true. We did a lot of that, man. We did a lot of that, that's for sure.
Dave, did you find Glenn Clem Vanderbilt? Is there anything there?
Yeah, well, he spent some time in the CBA, it looks like. Charleston Gunners, among a couple other teams for a few years. Currently, Glenn Clem, according to LinkedIn, is the director of sales at Paper Chef, over in Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Paper Chef?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Tim, are you familiar with Paper Chef?
I'm not familiar with Paper Chef, but if he's a director of sales, hopefully he's making some good coin and he's got a great life and he was a great guy.
He was a super guy.
Maybe I should reach out to him from LinkedIn and just ask him how he got home that day.
Exactly. And by the way, you still owe me 3 months rent, you know, from someplace in one of the quadrants in Rochester.
Oh, I'll tell you something else that happened to me that year. I've had two really bizarre injuries in my athletic career. One happened in Rochester, Minnesota, and I didn't really miss any time with it. I was able to play through it. It was very painful. I had a cat.
That's right. You did have a cat.
I had a cat in my apartment.
Yes.
I drove out there from Philly,
yep.
And I had a cat with me. And the cat liked to eat tuna fish. And I was opening tuna fish can, and I was pressing it. You know, you kind of take the can opener, and you do the lid, and then you push down on it to get out of it. You know?
Yep.
I did that. And when I did that, I sliced my thumb.
Mm.
To this day, there's a scar, a very visible scar on my left thumb from feeding my cat.
Yeah.
And I thank God it was my left thumb. I was able to play through it. The other strange injury I had in the CBA also, I think it was in Omaha at this point, I was in a bed in a hotel and the sheets were tucked in so tightly around the end of the bed. You know, that is happens sometimes.
I like that in my bed, by the way. I don't want to have sheet issues.
I hate it.
What?
But I was laying in bed and I was too lazy to like get out of the bed and walk down and like kind of take the sheets and jerk them up and get some space. I just tried to kick it with my leg and just kick it upward. And I ended up straining a muscle in my quad.
There should have been a memo sent to every NBA team at that point. If this guy's going to get hurt with complications from the bed sheet, he is disqualified from any NBA consideration.
Yeah, I walk in looking like it's a Civil War reenactment, and they're like, what happened to you? Well, I was feeding my cat trying to take a nap, and
So far, I'd say excellent Wolves-Warriors analysis so far.
I think that's what the people are here for, the hard-hitting stuff.
I think they are. Let's pause. We will come back, and we'll talk about Wolves and Warriors. Wolves up 2-1. Tim and Dave Pasch, who's outstanding, will call the game on ESPN tonight. We're back with Legs in moments on CCO.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Back with our guy Legs. Tim Legler is with us. He ended up playing in the NBA for 10 years, 96, a three-point shooting champion. He's calling Wolves Warriors game 4 tonight. I want to talk Julius Randle. I am one who, before this year, was very skeptical of Randle as a really high-end player. I didn't doubt his skill. I didn't doubt his ability to score. But I just thought he was such a ball monopolizer that you had to run so much of the offense through him that would he make players better at the highest level while acknowledging that he saw the floor well? And so when the Wolves made the trade, they made the trade. Talent certainly was a part of it, right? You get Randle, you get DiVincenzo, and you get a number one draft choice, which you're going to get this year because another good buddy of mine, J.B. Bickerstaff, did such a great job coaching the Pistons. It's a first-round draft choice. But money was a huge part. I mean, When you traded Towns, he had 4 years and $250 million left on his deal. And Legs, he struggled early. But now, I'm just going to say it. I think he's playing like a superstar. He is handling the ball. He's got 23 assists the last two games. He's balancing the bully ball. He sees the floor well. Defensively, he was excellent against Luka. He was excellent against LeBron. When he's been matched up on switches against Jimmy, he's been very good. He just dominated Draymond when he took him to the post. As a skeptic of Julius Randle as an all-star, I'm now just giving him praise at the high, high level he's playing right now.
It's all justified. And I think, first of all, I think also your feelings about him prior to this change in thought process and opinion was also justified. I mean, I felt similarly about Julius Randle. Physical specimen, clearly talented, but I thought holds the ball too long. He's never going to be a consistent enough perimeter shooter, and that's the shot he's going to be dared to take. And you look at particularly what happened to him in the playoffs when he was in New York.
Yes.
Two different years. I mean, 1 year, I'm looking at his numbers right now because I wanted to refresh my memory. You know, in 2021 playoffs, five games of the Knicks, he shot 29% from the field.
Yeah.
In a five-game series loss. Comes back the next year, they play in later, plays in the playoffs, 10 games for the Knicks, 37% from the field as like their primary guy. So I was always kind of like of the impression, man, you know what, when you get into a series with Julius Randle, you're going to be able over each game and you make adjustments and it's just so much harder to like, it's so much easier rather for teams to force you to your weaknesses over the course of a series. And I'm thinking, like, what ultimately is this guy's ceiling as a player? He's a good player. He's never going to be a guy that's going to really lead you anywhere under those conditions. And I couldn't be more wrong in what he's doing right now because he's been incredible. His consistency in this postseason has been right up there with anybody in this league.
I agree with you.
Because he really hasn't had him. You go and look at game after game. I mean, he's had a couple of shooting nights where he wasn't great. He didn't shoot great in game one of this series.
Mm-mm.
Got to the line 10 times and made all those. He didn't shoot great that particular night. And he had another bad shooting night in game four of the Lakers series. He was 9-for-22, but it was a win, and he had 25-7. So he still got to his number. Didn't have a great shooting night. Other than that, rock solid across the board. And it's not just the scoring, man. It's the rebounding. He had a stretch to close out that game where he got every defensive rebound that they needed to keep Golden State from getting a second opportunity. And then on the other end, he was controlling the offense. Now, Anthony Edwards went ballistic in the second half.
Yep.
But I felt like Randle was in control because he was winning his matchup and it was creating rotations by Golden State that led to opportunities for Anthony Edwards on the perimeter and other guys. So I just felt like I can't say enough. And I'll be honest with you, I was shocked, Chad, toward the end of the game. And we were like, man, he's got a triple-double. It was almost a quiet triple-double, if that's possible. But the guy's been sensational. He deserves every bit of praise that you're giving him and that we're giving him, and I'm going to give him a lot tonight on the open to this game.
Yeah, take a look. John Krasinski, who does just a brilliant job and great friend, who covers the Wolves for The Athletic, has a really good story today, including about some of those playoff runs and some health issues. But you're right. He almost had a triple-double in the second half the other night. Randle did. So let's talk Ant. You know, Ant had these sublime games in games 3 and 4 up here in the Lakers series where, you know, his clutch numbers have not been good for a guy of his caliber, and he just was spectacular in games 3 and 4 against the Lakers, and then horrible shooting game 5, horrible shooting game 1, some moments game 2, but then had the ankle situation. And then first half the other night, you're like, what's going on? And I know you and Dave are debating the ankle. I wasn't sure it was that because the guy, his recuperative powers is unbelievable. But I thought they were doing a very good job of controlling things and sending him to spots. Not only did they take not set as many screens for him and give him more freedom, not only was it Randle freeing him up, there's just an assertiveness when he decides to just go inside. And as you know better than me, Warriors have nobody inside that can alter shots. They really don't. They can try Jackson Davis. They can try some people. But he has that ability where you're kind of doubting him. And then all of a sudden he has a 14-minute stretch where he has 25 points. And there are very few guys who have that ability to be in a bit of a funk. But then by the time the game is done, you're like, my God, only like five or six other guys in the league could have this type of game.
Yeah, so, you know, we talked about it in the Open. I actually said in the Open to the game, game three, I said it feels like he's due to erupt because he really had only gone off one time in the playoffs. Now, he had a couple other good games against the Lakers. He went off once, and we know how explosive he is and combustible, particularly when he's making his three and you make it into that step back three, then he becomes almost unstoppable.
Yes.
And so we're watching the game and it was kind of a, you know, subpar first half, not
was
injecting himself into what changed his night were the first 6 minutes of the third quarter when he had a weak side slash off of a Randall post up and Golden State turned her head. He gets a dunk.
Yep.
Then a couple minutes later, he has a weak side cut off of a Randall action, and he gets a layup. Then about a minute later, he got two free throws on a drive, and then he got another layup off of a drive. So in a matter of about 6 minutes, he put up 9 points on everything at the rim. And I could just see that we could both see the look in his eye and the bounce he got into his step after that, looking for his perimeter shot. You know, is when they score, man, you see the ball go in a few times in a row in a short period of time. I don't
care
where you're getting it from. It just changes the way you feel. Your confidence goes up. The rim looks bigger. You feel like you're in rhythm, even though you haven't made any jump shots really. And then the jump shots started flowing from that. So I thought that really unlocked him. And a lot of it was Randall's playmaking, but he was making great reads on the weak side of when to cut. And he was playing powerful basketball at the rim. And I thought it opened up his night. And, of course, you know, when he did the rest of the game, he ended up with 28 in the second half. And so now he's got two games in the postseason where he went absolutely nuts. And he's capable on any given night of doing it. And if he doesn't do it in this game, Golden State's probably sitting here up 2-1.
Tim Legler's with him, with us, with Dave Pasch tonight, ESPN. I think it's a 9 o'clock start here in town. What do you think, what's Kerr's approach? And obviously Butler was much more assertive, much more aggressive, but then late in the game he ran out of juice. He doesn't have enough help. Draymond gave him very little foul trouble. Kuminga obviously was great, but predicting Kuminga, good luck betting on that one. He could have a great game tonight. He could be complete non-factor. What's your guess at Kerr knowing realistically if they have any chance? And I don't think they do. But if they have any chance, they have to win tonight. What do they do?
Yeah, I actually feel like they had to win game three to win the series. Like, it's one thing, it's different to say they can still be competitive and this can still be a longer series. Yeah, that could all happen if they win tonight. But I think when you're in position, when you're shorthanded, like they are, to win a game, and you're in a one-possession game with 5 minutes left, you got to win that game. You just got to win that game. And to your point, two guys had 63 of their 97 points.
Yeah.
Kuminga was incredible. And you know, I actually give him
tantalizing, right? I guess.
Well, he's maligned a lot, Chad, and I know that internally within the organization, like, the reason he hasn't broken through fully, because his talent is obvious.
Yeah.
The reason is because they don't think he makes a lot of the other winning plays that Pajemski makes, for instance,
with
his defensive rebounding and 50-50 balls and stepping in and taking a charge on a penetration, like always making sure that, you know, you have the right defensive rotation on the weak side if that's the assignment. He goes lackadaisically sometimes after a defensive rebound and puts him to the spot. Like, it drives Kerr nuts. But the talent is obvious. So for them to call on him in this situation and respond the way he did, you know, because if he doesn't do what he did, they
lose
that game by 20.
Yep.
So I give him a lot of credit, man, because mentally he can't be in a great place. He's been taken out of the rotation. He doesn't even know what his future is in Golden State. And now they need him, and he steps up and gives you 30. So he was great. Obviously, Butler was great. Here's the thing. The rest of their team, you talked about Draymond Green. You'd be very kind to say that he didn't do much. Draymond Green had one of the worst stat lines of his career.
Yep.
Think about this. He had more fouls and turnovers combined than points, rebounds, and assists.
Yeah. You're right.
Okay. He did absolutely nothing offensively for this team. Now, he had some possessions where he played good defense on Julius or whatever.
Yeah.
He's always going to do that. But the two fouls that he committed to foul out of that game,
ridiculous.
They're just boneheaded plays.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
You're holding up Randall so he can't slide over on Butler's drive, right? And they catch it on replay.
Silly.
You think they're not going to see that? And then it's funny on the air, I don't know if you caught this, but Dave Pasch on the fifth foul goes, "Oh, if you're Steve Kerr legs, what do you do here?" And I said, "Well, listen, man, you got 4.5 minutes to go. You got to ride with this and trust that he's going to know how to play with foul trouble."
Right.
I barely got it out of my mouth.
Exactly.
And Jaden McDaniels drove to the rim and got fouled on the very next possession.
Yeah.
And it was
bang,
obvious.
Bang.
Foul. He shoved him. Yeah,
yep.
He shoved him. And he's complaining and freaking out like he got hosed on the call. And I'm like, dude, it's obvious. So you got to be smarter than that. He gave him nothing. So if anybody's got to redeem themselves tonight, it's got to be him. Now, he's not going to dial up a 20-point game anytime he wants, but doesn't mean he can't give you 12 to 15 and stay on the court. And then,
yep.
Listen, you're not getting 30 out of Kuminga. So let's say Butler has another 30-point game, which he very likely will. Kuminga, maybe he has a really good game and gives you 18. Well, then where's it going to come from? It's got to come from, in my opinion, two places. Draymond Green clearly has to be much better than 2 points. And Brandon Podziemski can't make a shot to save his life right now, but has had big playoff games for them earlier in the Houston series. He's capable. He had good looks, I thought. He gives you 15-8. Draymond gives you a dozen. Kuminga has just a good game, not a great game. There's your formula. But I don't know if those things are going to happen because of the place that Podziemski's in right now offensively, and Draymond's so inconsistent, who knows?
Their margin for error is so slim. Without Steph. Last thing, about 30 seconds left. Do you even see Steph back if there's a game six? You've had hamstring injuries before. I mean, there's no realistic option for him to play Wednesday, right?
No. And I think, look, all I was thinking was just win one game without him. And that'll get us to a game six, one game at home, really, after they got the split. We'll get it to a game six. Here comes Steph at home. Okay, we can and we win that. Now, game seven on the road, Steph Curry, we've seen what he's done in the past. He had a 50-point game seven a few years ago on the road in Sacramento. So, to me, Chad, you ask my opinion, I think it's unlikely. I just think that's a short time frame with a hamstring pull. I just think that's an awful lot to expect. Could be wrong. It remains to be seen, but I know this. If they don't win tonight, they're probably going to get closed out in the next game.
Great stuff. Miss you. Let's bump into each other again. I'll be watching tonight.
Will do, brother. Take care.
Tim Legler here on Newstalk 830 WCC.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.